Good morning. It's Paul Ingram of painscience.com. It is Saturday, January 28th, almost the end of the first month of 2023. And I think this is my first audio version of the new year. I have been scrambling to catch up on backlog of correspondence, especially that accumulated over the holidays and much else. But I am finally getting up to ramming speed with the blogging and the newsletter content. And it's time to give you an audio version. So today's post is all about panticulation and updates to that topic. I wrote a new article for painscience.com about panticulation recently. It started out as a section of an article about stretching, and that was the context in which I was thinking about it, and so that is how I described it. Quote, panticulation is the reflexive stretching that animals often do when we rouse ourselves from rest or sleep. And yet almost immediately after hitting the publish button, I started noticing and thinking about the fact that my own panticulating doesn't seem to involve much actual stretch. It's much more about contraction, a moment of intense rigidity, and even compression of the abdomen and spinal column, which sadly has been especially clear to me lately because I can feel the painful compression of my vertebrae. I'm going through a rough patch with my own health, which has been lousy for years now, and particularly bad for the last 6 months. And I have a lot of fairly substantial spinal pain, particularly every morning. And really, it's like I can feel every single vertebrae. They're all lit up. It's not an ordinary back pain. It doesn't, you know, for instance, feel like muscle pain at all. It really feels like the bones are sore. And when I panticulate, which is a good strong contraction, I can feel the compression of the vertebrae. It really feels like they're squeezing together painfully. And there's very little stretch involved. There's like, where's the stretch? There isn't really any. And the more I think about it, the more clear that gets. I'm not stretching when I panticulate. I definitely panticulate and I definitely don't stretch. I also got reader feedback along these lines, plus some other reports of peculiar panticulation of various types. And none of those reports was more welcome or charming than a video of Mushi the cat. And Mushi, here I am doing an audio post that features something visual, clever me. Mushi the cat is basically doing the same thing I do, contracting, just getting rigid for a moment. Her ears fold down quite strongly. She lifts a paw up off the ground a little bit. Obviously, you can see this in the newsletter post. You can go look at that. It's cute. So Mushi's cat mom reader Carol Robbins says, quote, I have three cats and they all get up and do the down dog and the up dog and then yawn. But even this, I wouldn't call true panticulation. I have one cat who panticulates and the difference is striking. When she does this, she becomes very tall and quite rigid. Her eyes roll back and her ears flatten. This video was taken right after the down dog, up dog stretches. And you can see her foot lift off the ground. So I'm quickly backing away from describing panticulation as a kind of stretching. It is a cousin to stretching at most, not a sibling, and it has as much claim to being about contraction and compression as elongation of anything. And an extra thought for the audio here, I could swear that I saw something in the media, that I saw a headline about this. In fact, it's even one of the reasons that I first chose to write about panticulation. I think going back 3 weeks or so now, I could swear I saw a headline that said something about the purpose of panticulation being related to compression of the spine. But I can't find it now. I have searched high and low. My Google Foo has failed me. I cannot find it. If you happen to know, if you saw that, if you saw something about that, please let me know. Here are some other reader observations about their own panticulating. This is five quotes that are all taken from the Facebook post about this. While I sometimes incorporate a stretch, usually a twist of the torso in both directions, I'm mostly contracting muscles. So there's someone else like me. Pendiculating has been very scarce as I've aged, someone says. Interesting. Well, it's been exactly the opposite for me. Every time I stand up from sitting, I reach up as high as I can until I involuntarily shake. The shaking thing, like, I get it. I often feel a touch of that, but it never progresses to anything that I think anyone else would identify as a shake. Like, it's just a little bit of an internal tremor. But I've heard from more than just that person that shaking seems to be a part of pendiculation. I feel like it really is a lot of compression and contraction. And finally, and I completely agree with this, I wish that I could stretch my ears like Mushi. Here's some even sexier pendiculation follow-up. Came as a complete surprise. Hat tip to, once again, to a reader pointing out the sexy link here to me. Carol R. Yet again, she needs a byline for this post. So, bizarrely, there's a bunch of overlap between pendiculation and chasmology. And there's another fun new word for you. The study of yawning, chasmology. As in chasm. So both pendiculation and yawning are triggered by sexual arousal. Okay. An ancient experiment from 1985, which is ancient now, I guess, induced yawning and pendiculation in rats by injecting them with a compound related to sexual arousal, which sounds like a very confused rat to me. There's not exactly a flood of science on this topic, but there is one researcher who's really strongly associated with it. This is a Dutch name, which I will probably butcher the pronunciation of, Walter Suytjens. You don't see sentences like this in many scientific abstracts. Get a load of this. Particular emphasis is placed upon the author's favorite theory, the hidden sexuality of the human yawn. So there's probably some fun reading to do about that. I don't think that the link between sex and pendiculation is very strong, but it is. It seems clear that there is one, that people actually do yawn or pendiculate more when turned on. So that's fun. More therapeutic claims about pendiculation. One final update here. I may have underestimated the popularity of pendiculation as therapy. I didn't even know about this before I started writing about pendiculation, which is kind of incredible given the number of things that I'm exposed to in therapy world, given the amount of correspondence I get. Maybe I'd come across something at some point, but it didn't stick. And it never ceases to amaze me how much of this, you know, how many ideas there are, how many treatment ideas there are out there. So I did not know about it when I started the writing. I quickly discovered it as I Googled it, and I may have underestimated just how popular this idea is. I got a few responses from readers to the first pendiculation post, like this one, quote, "Pendiculation works and static stretching does not. It depends on how you do it, and I have created my own way. I have about 30 years experience working with the body. My clients know it works, and chronic pain goes away really fast. Scheduled surgeries for knee replacements and labral repairs get canceled." Okay, being as gracious as possible, maybe she is onto something, perhaps. Having pain side members is training me to be gentler. But these are fairly dramatic claims. A pendiculation-based therapy that can actually replace knee replacements would be nothing short of a miracle and a rather startling accomplishment. So she might be onto something, but I rather doubt that anyone is actually getting saved from knee replacements by this therapy. Not any knee replacement they really needed. So, I wonder how deep this rabbit hole goes. Patients, if you're listening, have you been asked to pendiculate? Or have you received therapy that seems pendiculatory? And clinicians, has pendiculation inspired any of your work? operators are standing by. Please let me know if you've got any further insight into this phenomenon of pandiculation replacing therapy or being therapy or inspiring therapy. I clearly have underestimated it so far. Let's see how much I have underestimated it. Talk to you next time.